Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm excited today as we continue our series on Lessons for Life. It's education from the Word of God. And today, as we're studying about learning from the Word of God, our teacher, I know you'll gain lessons that will bless your life and bless others too. If you've missed any so far in this series, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, Lessons for Life. You'll gain some insights if you missed the first two. Glad you're here. Good to have the team. Take a look. We're just a little band here today. Someone's wondering, did you fire the other seven members of the team? And the answer is no. We're filming during a global health pandemic. But do you know what we've discovered? God can work with many or few. God is a great and awesome God, and we're blessed to be part of the study. We're glad you joined us too. We're always happy to hear from our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. And I just want to share a few of those emails with you. From Australia, Jim writes, and he says, just want to say thank you for a great Bible study. As a retired church school teacher, I appreciate the effort that it takes to prepare each program. We really appreciate Jason for his enthusiasm. Amen. Jason, give a wave to Australia. Maybe someone will see you there. It mentions a couple of other people who aren't here today. But it says, years ago at our church in Australia, we were fortunate to have two young men who'd been on the Hope Sabbath School team. My wife and I try to visualize what each member does in day-to-day life. So they're all looking at Billy and saying, what does he really do? I don't know, Billy. Should we tell them what you do?
Yeah.
Why don't you just take a moment? Tell us what you do besides volunteering for the Hope Sabbath School team.
Sure. So I'm a humanitarian aid worker, so I take care of emergencies around the world, and sometimes I get deployed to disasters around the world. So it's something that I love doing. The way I see it is like I'm getting paid to do something that I love doing.
And so. You actually work for ADRA.
Correct.
Which is the Adventist Development and Relief Agency.
Yes.
And you go sometimes to some risky places.
Yeah,
and where there's great need.
Yeah, I don't mind.
And I bet that smile sets people
exactly
at ease, doesn't it? Well, at least the folks around the world, you know what one of our team is doing, and you're wondering about the others. So you'll have to stay tuned for another Hope Sabbath School program. But we're real people, and we're volunteers. Part of this great mission. Here's a note from just right next door to our studio in Silver Spring, Maryland, in the United States. Rose Marie writes, and she says, I've been meaning to make this comment for a long time. We're like, oh no, what's the comment? She says, two things I really appreciate about Hope Sabbath School. One, so many ethnic groups are represented by the team, just like heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Well, take a look at the small team here. I know we're just a group of five here, but, you know, we look like the world. We represent, actually, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Mm-hmm. Rosemary says, I really appreciate that. Even more, I appreciate that Hope Sabbath School shows everyday people actually reading the Bible.
Wow. Amen.
She says, I've never seen that before. Either people are just referencing the Bible on a screen or occasionally a reference of a text. But there's nothing more powerful than actually seeing young people reading from the Bible. So Hope Sabbath School is modeling how we should read and study the Bible. God bless you all. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Rosemary, we are excited. Thank you. Do a little jump here. Because the Word of God is living and active, right? Yes. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Mm-hmm. But it's nice that we're not just talking about the Bible, but actually reading the Bible for ourselves. That's right next door in Silver Spring. Here's from Elizabeth in South Africa. And she says, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior.
Amen. Amen.
Hope this finds you well. I am an Afrikaans-speaking person from Cape Town, South Africa. I just need to say what a blessing it is, especially during the pandemic, to learn so much more about Jesus.
Amen.
I hardly had time to study the Bible as I spent most of the time with children in their Bible study at church. Thanks for being a blessing to others. Well, Elizabeth, we've discovered that God is working good, even in this pandemic. Here we are with five people, not allowed to sing. It's amazing that God can work miracles in the midst of the challenge, right?
Amen.
and he's done it for Elizabeth. Thanks for sharing with us. Here is a note from a couple, from a donor couple in Ohio. And I just want to say thank you. We're a donor-supported ministry, especially at this time of the year. If you're thinking about partnering with us, hopetv.org/donate, we're part of a great miracle. This couple writes and says, "We decided to send a small gift to help Hope Sabbath School. We admire the class members very much. May God richly bless you all. Also, we love the scripture songs." And they sent a gift of $100.
Amen.
Now you might say, "Pastor Derek, how can $100 help run a global media network with 59 affiliates broadcasting in 70 languages?" And the answer is one partner at a time, right? Yes. Yes. One commitment at a time. So thank you to all of you for supporting this ministry. One last note from Ana Lucia in Honduras. She writes, "Hello, Hope Sabbath School."
Hello.
Got a smile there. "My name is Ana Lucia. My husband Renee and I have been watching your channel, especially during these hard times." Here we are again, middle of a health pandemic. "We are Seventh-day Adventists from Honduras. We would like to thank you for helping us with our Bible study." Congratulations for doing such a great job, Hope Sabbath School. We know that many others are also blessed. God bless you and everyone and your ministry always. Well, Ana Lucia, thank you for encouraging us. And I want to encourage you during this challenging time to let the light of Jesus shine through you, through Renee. Make a difference in Honduras because Jesus is in your heart. Well, right now we want to sing our theme song for the series. Yeah. Actually, we need you to sing it because we're not allowed to sing here because of social distancing, but it's taken from Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. Beautiful. "Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days." Let's sing it together.
Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. You may be wise in your latter days.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, We are so thankful that we can study today lessons for life. We want an education, but we want it from your word, from you, as you've guided through your prophets and most clearly through Jesus. As we talk about learning from the Word of God as our teacher today, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us into the most important lessons as we learn together. Mm-hmm. And I pray a blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you could say there's one lesson, Samiso, one lesson more than any other lesson that God would want to teach us through His Word, what would it be? Well, before you answer the question, maybe you can read the scripture for us.
Yep.
In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Because I firmly believe, you probably would have given this answer, and there's more complexity to the answer than just this verse. But some people think that God's just trying to catch people doing wrong things and punish them forever and ever. That just is not the character of God at all. Right. What's the lesson we learn in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5?
I'm reading from the New King James Version. Verse 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength."
All your heart, soul, and strength. Love the Lord your God. All right? Would Jesus agree with that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did he say that somewhere, Billy? Where was that found? Was that in Matthew 22?
I was also thinking John 3:16.
Oh, that God so loved the world. Okay.
Yeah, so he's in love, sure. He's embodied in him.
Take a look at Matthew 22 for us as well, if you would, 37 to 39. But that's a good point. Even in that very concise statement about salvation, God so loved the world.
Yeah.
So there's a lesson for life, and that is whatever deceptions we've been told about the character of God, whatever lies we've been told, the truth is that God loves us and He wants us to love Him with all of our hearts. What does Jesus say in Matthew 22, 37 to 39?
Sure, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. It says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself."
Now, we've heard those two great commandments, right? Did Jesus make the second one up, or is that in the Bible too? Mm-hmm. Love your neighbor as yourself. Is that a New Testament commandment? You say, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think it's in Leviticus chapter 19, right? Maybe you have it. Kim, do you have that in your parallel version? I just thought we should mention that Jesus, he knew the scriptures, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In Leviticus 19 and verse 18, we'll find that that same principle is found. Yeah. Let's take a look at Leviticus 19 and verse 18.
I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself."
Oh, there it is. Now, Jesus will take it to the next level because he will say in the new commandment I give you in John 13:34, "You shall love one another as
I have
loved you." And it uses the agape love there.
Right, right.
So you need the love of God in your heart so you can love as I've loved you. But this theme is woven throughout all of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And Sabina, could you take us to 1 John?
Yes.
By the way, John recorded the words in John 3:16.
Mm.
But in 1 John chapter 4, in his letter to Christians, he also speaks about the love of God. And in 1 John, right before the book of Revelation, these letters, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, let's see, we're talking here about the Word of God is our teacher, and one lesson is to know the truth about the character of God who loves us.
Yes.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New International Version, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love."
So if you read on down through verse 11, please.
Oh, sure. "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Billy, that's almost kind of referring back to John 3:16. Did you notice that?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So this is overarching theme in Scripture that God loves us, mm-hmm. and
we should love
He wants
God.
Us to love him and to
others.
Love each other.
Yeah.
Someone might go, oh, Derek, that's kind of lovey-dovey. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about love as a superficial emotional reaction here, mm-hmm. are we? We're talking about self-sacrificing love, yeah.
right.
that would cause Sumiso, who's mm-hmm. been married now for a few months, to lay down his life for his wife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Or in the Christian family, to lay down your life mm-hmm. for a brother or sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. You say, that's not just a superficial love, is it?
No.
That's a deep self-sacrificing love. Mm-hmm. The Word of God is our teacher, and these are lessons for life. Mm-hmm. You'd say, well, that challenges our culture. That kind of self-sacrificing love. I heard one time someone was getting married and her marriage vow was, I'll promise to be faithful to you as long as I love you.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, that sounds problematic to
me.
That's not a self-sacrificing love. Billy?
And also it challenges us to love people that, you know, who doesn't love us back. I think in Matthew 5 talks about that God, Jesus is asking us to even pray for those who persecute us. So we don't love people that love us back, but we also love people who persecute us and hate us even, that, you know, we should have that type of love.
In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you.
Yeah.
And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I could only remember that because my wife wrote a scripture song, right? That you may be called children of your Father in heaven.
Yes. Yeah.
If we just learned one lesson for life from the Word of God as our teacher, it would be
to love.
God loves us,
and
he wants us to love him and love each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How do you think, Kim, that understanding of the character of God, how would that affect the way that we come to Scripture to learn lessons for life?
Mm. Yeah, it changes everything, I think. When you have a foundation that God is love, you want to read his Word. It's like a love letter to you, and you want to spend time with him. And he's not somebody that wants to punish you for anything, but he wants to love you and you to love him as well.
No, I don't know. Of course, my wife and I courted many years ago, you know, this is before email, before text messages, but we would write letters to each other. And those letters were precious. We're struggling now to decide whether we keep them forever.
Keep them.
What is it about that makes those so valuable?
Well,
you can't relate. No. What do you think, Sabina?
I think it's just because it's coming from someone that you love as well and that loves you, so
it's
you want to keep it.
It's a symbol of a relationship, right?
Yes.
It's not the paper.
Yes.
It's a symbol of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Jason?
And the items in it are unique to you and the other person and the experience that you share.
So as Kimberly said, when I come to Scripture, knowing God's like, I love you, precious daughter.
Yeah.
And I want you to be filled with my love, to love me and love others.
Yeah.
I come with a totally different attitude, right, Sabina?
Yeah. And furthermore, I think that also looking at the Word of God, knowing that it comes from a loving God, makes me trust in it more.
Yeah.
So there are so many things here we are going to learn further that are recommendations that God gives to us on how to live a good life and not lessons for life. And knowing that it comes from a loving God makes me feel calm and confident that I can just obey him because he loves me and that he wants the best for me.
And that's a good sequel to the next section of our study, which is showing us our great need. Mm-hmm. If we didn't know that God loved us, you know, it wouldn't be that good news that he would come to us and show us our great need in the Word, right?
Yes.
But let's see what Moses told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 31. And we'll see that reinforced in the New Testament. Jason, Deuteronomy 31, 24 to 27. Moses is coming to the end of his life. And what does he say to the children of Israel?
And I'm reading here from the New King James Version, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 24 to 27. So it was, when Moses had completed writing the words of this law in a book, when they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, "Take this book of the law and put it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. If today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord, then how much more after my death?"
It sounds a bit stern. This is going to be a witness against you. But actually, if God loves us and we're heading in the wrong direction, a witness is actually
a reminder.
It is a reminder, but it may actually be a blessing.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Let's look at a couple of texts in the book of Romans which remind us why we may at some point or maybe many points in our life need a witness against us. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Samiso, do you have that? Verse 10 and verse 23.
Verse 10 and verse 23, Romans 3. Verse 10, reading from the New King James Version, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Verse 20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin."
Actually, verse 23, if you would read that for us.
Verse 23. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God."
So here's a challenge. A person comes and says, "I'm not a bad person. I haven't killed anybody. You know, I haven't done anything terribly wicked." They need a witness against them, which shows them what?
We've all sinned.
We've all sinned. Exactly. And by the way, if I keep reading in the book of Romans, isn't it chapter 6 and verse 23, which says, "The wages of sin is
death."
So the loving thing for God to do is to say, "Here's my word to let you know that you're out of harmony."
Yes.
Now, in the old days, in the Hebrew scripture time, God would at times send a prophet to do that, right? He could do that today, but he can also bring our attention to the word.
Yes.
And we go, "Oh, that's me." But can you think of any stories in the scriptures where God sent a prophet, not just to be mean, but out of love, to say, "You're out of harmony, you're in the wrong place," and call people to recognize their need for forgiveness and cleansing? Yeah. Is this a story, Jason?
So I think of the story of the prophet Nathan with King David.
And that story is recorded. We won't read the whole story, but it's recorded in 2 Samuel 11, I think. What was the failure that David had stumbled or fallen into?
So David had engaged in adultery and led to murder because he tried to cover it up by having the husband killed, and then he took the wife for himself, and he had thought he could get away with it, but then the prophet Nathan came to him and shared a little parable, which got David not unwittingly saying that the person who had done the wrong thing should be punished.
I want you to read the story.
All right.
Do that?
Sure.
The story of the adultery and the murder and the cover-up, it sounds like a modern-day saga, you know, is in 2 Samuel 11. Could you read 2 Samuel chapter 12? Perhaps you could read verses 1 through 13?
Sure.
And in that story, again, we have to ask, is God confronting David because he hates him, wants to hurt him, wants him to be lost? Or is he confronting him because he loves him, wants him to repent, wants him to be cleansed and to be forgiven and with him forever? How does the story come Instead of just a Bible text, which the Holy Spirit could bring, God sends a prophet named Nathan.
Yes. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, I believe.
Sure.
All right. New King James Version says it like this. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for that lamb, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man."
Hold it right there. You are the man. How is Nathan feeling, Billy, at this moment?
Maybe he's about to write his will, because David can kill him. Because, you know, he's talking to a king who has control over who can kill him, basically, you know, if he wants to.
That's how Nathan might be feeling. What about King David? He's being totally
confronted.
Confronted first.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do you think is going on in his mind?
It is laid at plain his level of hypocrisy, that he's angry at this man. This hypothetical situation is angry at that person. But he has done even worse, and he says, "You are this man."
Do you imagine, Sabina, that he's kind of processing what's the character of God like? I mean, David loved the Lord, right?
Yes.
It's troubling, and it should cause us reflection that we could stray away and do such terrible things, even though we've given our heart to God.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. What he's processing, you know, is God going to strike me dead right here?
Yeah.
Will God? He's processing. What do you think is going on in his mind?
Yeah, I think he probably is wondering, hopefully, like repenting already in his heart, considering like, what did I do wrong? How did I come? How did I end up here? Is there mercy for me? Is there forgiveness? And I think that in his place, I would also be afraid. Even though knowing that God is love and that he loves me, I would, for at that moment at least, I would say, okay, so I came to the edge. How do I go far from here?
Perhaps the same thought that Saul of Tarsus felt struck down on the Damascus Road.
Exactly. Something like
when
this.
When Jesus says, "I am Jesus who you are persecuting."
That fear of the Lord that comes upon you when you realize that you did something wrong and God convicts you and challenges you.
Samisa mentioned two words. One is confronted, and then hopefully
convicted.
Go just to verse 13, if you would, of 2 Samuel chapter 12. We would hope that the function of the Word of God through the prophet or the Word of God through Scriptures to us would be to bring conviction. Mm-hmm. How does David respond in verse 13 of 2 Samuel chapter 12?
2 Samuel 12, verse 13, says this from the New King James Version. So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die."
Now, there's a beautiful psalm. Some of you have read your scriptures and you know them. There's a beautiful psalm. Samiso, I think you know it, don't you? That David wrote a scripture song in response to this, not only confrontation, but conviction. And I see you turning in your Bible. It wasn't in our text here, but the Holy Spirit saying, read it to me. Yep. So where is it found?
Psalm 56.
Psalm 51, right?
51, right.
Psalm 51. And we could read the whole psalm, but I wonder if you could at least read for us in Psalm 51. Verses 10 through 12. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12.
Psalm 51, 10 through 12, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your righteous, by your generous spirit." Mm. Verse 13 says...
Oh, you want to read that too? Okay,
yes.
Keep going. It's a beautiful song. Verse 13 of Psalm 51.
It says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you."
Mm. It's interesting. God not only wants to...
heal us and transform us.
Forgive us and cleanse us, but...
also use us to lead other people to Jesus.
Right. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah.
Yes.
"Then I will teach transgressors your ways."
Yeah.
So we've learned some important lessons with the Word of God as our teacher, and that is that God loves us, and He wants us to love each other, and to, of course, to love Him and love each other. But He also wants to show us our need.
Yes.
We don't have time to unpack a lot of other stories, but there are some, aren't there, where God... stories that show us our need for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Is it one that jumps out at your mind? How about the woman thrown at the feet of Jesus, caught in the very act of adultery? How about Peter when he says, "I don't even know who Jesus is"?
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's lots of stories. You wonder, why did they put those in the Bible? You know, how embarrassing is that?
Mm-hmm.
Like the one with David.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, what did Moses say? As a witness against you. So that you say, you know what? I've done that too. I've been silent when I should have said, "I'm a follower of Jesus."
Yeah.
Or I've, you know, I've acted inappropriately when I thought no one was looking.
Yeah.
So, testimony time. Can you remember a time in your life when you came under the conviction through the Word of God that your life was out of harmony and that you needed forgiveness and cleansing? Sabina, I see you. You know, you don't have to share anything that you're not comfortable sharing, but I know you didn't grow up in a home that was very deeply committed to Jesus. So you've been on a journey. Here you are now, totally committed. Maybe some people watching go, "Sabina would never understand what I'm going through." You know, she's probably been... holy her entire life. But the truth is, we've all been on a journey, right?
Yes, that's
Can you think
true.
Of a time when God brought conviction
Absolutely.
Through His Word?
I think that the moment where I first had this conviction that I needed God's grace and His mercy for me was when I was 15 years old. That's a time when my father was diagnosed with cancer. And I started wondering and pondering what was the meaning of life and, you know, if there was anything beyond working the whole day and, you know, coming back home tired and eventually passing. And my father was a very important person to me. So that experience led me to realize that there should be something else that I was not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And as, you know, I came, it's a long story, and I know we don't have all the time, but I remember one day I entered into my bedroom and I kneeled down and I prayed and I said, "Oh, you know, if there is anyone true God out there, I don't know your name." And then I started reciting the names of gods that I had heard from different religions. And and I said, "Whomever you are, I just care that you are the one true. Whoever is your name, please reveal yourself to me because I need you. I know I need truth in my life." And it sounded like there was no truth before that, or that I was probably confused about the reason why I was alive. And, well, here I am. Jesus reached me in a process of about a year. And in this process, of course, things started coming up to surface about my personality, about my character that needed to be treated. And up to now, right, we are all a work
in progress. Right.
So I'm glad that he met me where I was. And now I can say that I know the one true God, that He loves me and that I love Him.
I can imagine there's someone, Kimberly, with tears running down her cheeks right now listening to Sabina's testimony. What good news do you hear in her testimony?
That Jesus never left her, and He was always there. The Holy Spirit was always working on her heart.
Absolutely.
And here you reach out to Him, and He's not hiding.
Yes.
No, He's not.
Right there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And here you are now sharing the word of God with.
Yes. And I usually say, if there is any something out there that apart from Jesus, this whomever never took interest in my life.
Ah.
As if there is one person who responded to my prayers, that was the God of the Bible.
Amen. Mm. Amen.
So what are we learning? Lessons for life with the word of God as our teacher. God loves us.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to love him back and love each other with his self-sacrificing love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've learned that he may point out that we're heading down the wrong road or or not in the path he has for us. Mm-hmm. But why is he doing that?
He loves us.
Because he loves us. Mm-hmm. And we're going to look in this third section after Samisa's comment at another blessing of the word of God as our teacher, and that is showing us how to live. Mm-hmm. But again, remembering the character of God, it's not, and you better live right or God's going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. He's going to punish you forever. No, mm-hmm. we want to learn how to live to honor God because we love him.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And he loves us too. Samisa. Mm-hmm.
So I also had an experience where I realized my need for forgiveness and mm-hmm. grace. Recently, actually, I was teaching a lesson, and in that lesson, we're addressing being intolerant and how that can impact other people. And being a good witness, and we were discussing how we have been intolerant to specific groups of people and so forth, and it was just going well. Then one of the elders raised his hand and he made a point which really convicted me. Mm. He said we should be tolerant to the intolerant as well.
Ah.
That really spoke to me, like we're looking at one direction. Wow. That we should not be intolerant, but love goes both ways. Mm. We are supposed to love everyone.
So I want to say that again, because I think it was profound. We are to be tolerant to the intolerant.
Mm.
We've talked about that in other studies. We should show love to those who don't deserve it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't God do that to us?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But that challenges us to go beyond our human love,
right.
Doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We need forgiveness. We need cleansing. We also need to learn how to live,
yes. mm-hmm.
and with the Bible as our teacher. So we're talking about some lessons for life here. Let's go back to a young leader named Joshua mm-hmm. in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And the Lord has called this young man to lead his people. He's taking over from who? What great leader?
Moses.
From Moses, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like following Jesus, yeah. you know, almost. Right? A great leader. Mm-hmm. It's like Timothy following mm-hmm. in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what word do we find there, Billy, in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8?
Okay. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commended thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper with whatsoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have success, good success.
So I want you to notice, if you just read the first part, you'd say, oh, here he is again. You've got to obey all of these commandments.
Mm-hmm.
But why is God asking his people to do that? Mm. Jason?
It says, meditate it day and night. Think about it. Let it become part of you, because then it'll actually be good for you. He wants us to be blessed, and we're blessed when we make the word become part of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Prosper, I think, is the word that we heard there, right?
Yeah.
That's not just talking about financial prosperity,
yeah.
Yeah.
but to flourish in every aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Sabina.
And also they were about to enter in the promised land, right? They had been journeying in the desert for years and years, and now that's the moment where they're going to take over the place that God had promised to them. So I'm sure that God wanted to remind them that even in the prosperity that they were about to enjoy, that they had to remember the law of God.
Look at the experience of Hezekiah mm-hmm. in 2 Chronicles 31. Here's a paradigm shift or a change of understanding that living in harmony with the Word of God or obeying the Word of God is actually for our blessing and not to just confine us in some way.
Mm-hmm.
2 Chronicles 31, Kim, if you have that, verses 20 and 21, what was the experience of Hezekiah?
I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. And every work that he undertook in the service of the house of God, and in accordance with the law and the commandments, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered.
Mm-hmm. All right. What was the last word?
Prospered.
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 So he did it with all his heart, mm-hmm. and God blessed him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's another beautiful promise in Proverbs chapter 6. Solomon writes verses 20 to 23. I want us to just get this picture that following the teaching of the word is the best way to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Proverbs chapter 6. Jason, do you have verses 20 to 23?
I'm reading here from the New King James Version, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life.
It's like this is the good way. Yeah. I like those three aspects there. When you roam, they will
lead you.
Lead you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because you have these principles of truth,
right?
Yeah.
From a God who
loves
us, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you sleep,
they'll watch over you.
What does that mean? When you sleep, they'll watch over you, Sabina.
Jason just said, protect.
Protect. So. Keep.
Keep you and to guard you as you sleep.
I remember a friend
who
had a dream. Someone was trying to attack her. Uh-huh. Mm. Could God protect a person even in a dream?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You say, Derek, that's a radical thought. Could his word keep you even when you sleep?
Yes.
Yes, I believe so.
Do you know what happened to this young lady in her dream? She began to sing one of my wife's scripture songs in her dream. Mm. In the night, his song shall be with me.
Yes.
Mm. A prayer to the God of my life. Mm. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Mm-hmm. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. She sang that, Samisa, in her dream.
Wow. That's
And the threat subsided and the peace of God filled her heart.
Amen.
You say, that wasn't real?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And the answer is the experience with God was real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake,
they will
speak with you.
Speak to you.
Talk with you. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the beauty of having the word as our teacher, teaching us the best way to live. Now, it's interesting. We're going to go to Revelation that one of the identifying characteristics of God's remnant people in the last days of Earth's history is obedience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The question is, why are they obeying God? Mm. You say, well, because he's God. Mm. But what is their motivation? Mm. Well, let's look at a couple of texts together. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Revelation 14. And verse 12, Samisa, do you have that? And then Revelation 12 and verse 17. Maybe Sabina, you can read that for us. First, Revelation 14, 12.
Revelation 14, 12 from the New King James Version. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this is not separated from Jesus at all, right? Mm-hmm. But they keep the commandments. So they're an obedient people. Mm-hmm. What does it say, Sabina, in Revelation 12 and verse 17?
Okay, I'll be reading from the New International Version. And it says, then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
Got Jesus there again too, right? So why are they obeying? That's a key question. Yeah. Are they obeying, trying to earn God's favor, hoping that maybe someday God will love them? Why are they obeying? It's a characteristic of His end time people. Sabina?
I think that the main reason is because they love Jesus.
Yes.
I think that that's the best reason why I would keep persevering. It's knowing His faithfulness and His love towards me, but also because I love Him so much. And I just want to go and live with Him in eternity. So I'm looking forward for that day and overcome all those things that we are going through.
So doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible, just find out what pleases Him?
Yeah.
You know, this is an obedience motivated by love.
Yeah.
Billy?
Yeah. No, I was going to say that, like Sabrina says, that, you know, love is the motivation and they choose God over everything else. So I think it's that free will that God is not forcing them to. Even if, you know, they see danger, they say, no, I'm still going to follow God. So it's a choice. It's a, you know, when you're facing death, I think that's when you have to choose. You make the sort of like the most radical decisions, and these people have chosen God. So it's a choice, not being forced or coerced by God. It's free will.
I think in that regard, it's a joyful obedience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Motivated by love. Samisa.
I just want to point out that the obedience is not fear of punishment.
No.
The obedience is love. So they have developed that relationship with Jesus, and they trust Jesus, and it's all Christ-centered obedience.
Beautiful, which brings us to the last part of our study, because we're talking about the Word of God as our teacher, lessons for life. And we've discovered a revelation of the character of God, which is what? Love. He loves us with an unfailing love, wants us to love Him and love each other.
Yes.
The Word of God also shows us our great need, again, because He loves us, right? He wants us to come onto the path of life and the path of blessing. He wants to show us the best way to live, right? And we are responding out of loving obedience. But I think one of the other really important areas of learning from the Word of God as our teacher is learning about Jesus.
Yes.
Think about it for a moment. How much would we know about Jesus if we didn't have the Bible?
Nothing.
How much would we know?
Very little.
Nothing.
Billy's like, I don't know. God would send an angel.
Maybe.
No, I was going to say, I feel like Jesus has, the way Jesus interacted with people, I think, you know, the Bible is our main source, but I believe that there might be some other sources that testify of, you know, what he's doing, because, you know, he impacted everybody. And that I think, you know, thank God for the Bible so that we can know more details. But maybe that's something, you know, to wonder, you know, what if we didn't have the Bible? You know, how else can we?
And I have an opinion on that, and I may get a lot of emails. There are a few references, Tacitus from the Roman Senate, Josephus, the Jewish historian. But I do believe that the enemy of our souls tried to eradicate every witness or testimony about Jesus. But when it came to Scripture, the same Holy Spirit who inspired the prophets and who was active in the ministry of life and ministry of Jesus preserved that Scripture for us. People gave their lives so that we could read this today. And Jesus said some startling things about the Scriptures. He said, actually, they're all about me. Can you remember where he said that?
John 5.
Samisa, would you read that for us?
John.
I think in verse 39 and 40.
Yep. John 5:39 and 40 from the New King James Version. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come that you may have life.
Now at that point, Jesus was referring to the Hebrew Scriptures, right? Because the New Testament Scriptures had not yet been written, right?
Right. Yeah.
So he's basically saying all of the writings of the prophets, they point to me. Is there an incident where Jesus demonstrated that? Can you think of a story in the Gospels where Jesus demonstrated what he said? That they all point to me, Sabina?
I can think of the walk in the way of Emmaus.
That's right. After the resurrection.
Exactly, after the resurrection, when he encountered the disciples and he pointed them to the Bible, to indicate that it was talking about him and was the prophecies that were fulfilled in him.
Would you read a portion of that text for us in Luke 24?
Yes.
Verses 25 to 27. By the way, the two disciples, we know one of their names, Cleopas.
Yeah. Mm.
The other we don't know. But did they think he was alive?
No.
No, they thought he was still dead. And Jesus gives them a Bible study. Now, Scripture says that they didn't recognize him. I don't know whether he had a piece of cloth over his head or whether they were just kept from recognizing him so that they'd hear the Bible study. Mm. But let's look at Luke 24, verses 25 to 27, because Jesus not only says the Scriptures are all about me, but he illustrates it right here.
Yes. So I'll be reading from the New International Version, and it says, "He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself."
I wish I could have been there, Samiso. Yes. I would have written down all of the Scripture references.
Yeah.
Could the Holy Spirit have revealed that to Luke when he wrote this story down?
Yeah.
Could he have given him a dream?
He could.
A vision?
Absolutely, yes. Of course, God can.
If you read later in the chapter, it says also he went to the Psalms and showed them from the Psalms.
Exactly.
Yeah. So why do you think he didn't give us all the references?
I
they heard them.
Right. Yeah.
Could it be that he wants us to study for ourselves?
Yeah. Exactly, yes. Yeah.
To go back and go, that points to Jesus, or that prophecy tells me where he'll be born.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or that prophecy talks about him going into Jerusalem on a donkey, you know?
And the disciples, they were blessed to live with Jesus and have spent time with Jesus, and even right now after the resurrection, see Jesus themselves in person. But what about us, you know? So if he was not teaching the disciples how to look and refer to Scripture, pointing to Jesus and letting us know that we also have to do the same, I think we would be lost. So
that was the Hebrew Scriptures, a great blessing. Jesus recognized them as the Word of God. But we also have what we call the New Testament Scriptures, right? Mm-hmm. Which are the clearest description of the life and teachings of Jesus.
Yeah. Yes.
The Gospels and the New Testament Book of Acts and the Epistles, all pointing to Jesus. Even the Book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, it's startling to me that people who say they are followers of Jesus have never read those books. I taught a class on the life of Jesus for many years. Mm-hmm. Many students coming in had never read one of the Gospels. Mm. Why would that be? Billy?
It might be the culture or just the environment, because I know some friends who are, you know, specific religion, and the religion not forbids them, but basically the practice is that, you know, the preacher is the one who's teaching you.
Ah, so the you don't read the Bible for yourself.
Exactly. So some of them, actually, they generally think that it's not my responsibility. That's part of the reason why I attend church, so that I can learn. Mm-hmm. But they don't see that, you know, they have access to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So, but I do think that, you know, some are genuinely, you know, just following the religion. And if the religion dictates that, no, it's the priest, it's the pastor, or it's the deacon, that, you know, they just, you know, follow that.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah. The truth of the matter is, his word is a lamp to our feet.
Yes.
So we need to be reading it for ourselves, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes. If the word's going to be our teacher, we need to read it for ourselves, because maybe something the human teacher tells me is not in harmony with what the Word of God is teaching me. So I need to study that for myself and let it lead me.
Yeah.
Share a time in closing. We're almost out of time in our study, and I'd love to hear from you, our viewers around the world, a time when God taught you an important lesson for life through His Word. Mm-hmm. The Bible, our teacher. Someone like to share a time when, God taught me through His Word, didn't send Nathan the prophet, but He taught me an important lesson through His Word. Anyone have a testimony to share? Kim.
So when I was a teenager, I struggled a lot with anxiety. I was always worried, like, would my parents get sick? Would I get sick? But God reminded me of the verse in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, to trust in Him. And to trust in the Lord with all my heart and not to lean at all on my own understanding. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in all your ways,
acknowledge him.
And he'll do what?
He'll direct my path.
You memorized that, didn't you?
Yes.
What did that do for you, even as a teenager?
It taught me not to rely on myself at all, and that I could trust that God wants the best for me in my life and my family's life.
And how long did it take for that to really sink in for you?
A few years. I'm still learning, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a journey.
Yes.
But you're believing that God is a loving God, has your best good at heart, mm-hmm. and his word is not there to trap you or condemn you. It may be there as a witness against you to show you your great need of him, right? Mm-hmm. But shows you the best way to live, mm-hmm. and it most of all points you to Jesus,
Amen.
Who loves you with immeasurable and unfailing love. One more verse. Yes, Billy.
Oh, verse.
Or testimony.
Well, sure. I'd say Jonah, the fact that, you know, when I was growing up, the story is always like, Jonah's trying to save the Ninevites, but I think I was reading maybe this year or last year the fact that God was also using the Ninevites to save Jonah. Mm.
So this is the prophet who ran away and didn't want to tell the Ninevites, a wicked city, that they should repent because actually God loved them.
Exactly.
What a startling thought that is, right? Yeah.
And the fact that God is using the people that, you know, we're trying to reach to reveal something deep inside of us that we know we need to give up or we need to surrender to him. Mm-hmm. And so it's both ways. So God sends us to reach somebody or save somebody, but he's also using these people to change us too, to make us better people. Because at the end of the day, for instance, Jonah became a better person because God revealed to him that he was prejudiced, that he was not acting the way he was supposed to. Mm-hmm. So God is using the people that we're trying to reach in order to change us.
And that's the story. There is a story in the Bible, my friend. There's a story for you and a story for me. Mm-hmm. It's actually just the word of God that we need to hear. And so I would encourage you to be regularly reading the Word of God. Let the Word of God be your teacher. Mm. Let Jesus, most of all, the living Word of God, be your teacher. Mm. Lessons for life that could bless your life and those around you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, the Bible is so powerful because you, God, are so awesome. You're a loving God. You want to lead us in the way of life, to bless us, and even to show us where we're straying into a dangerous path. Thank you for your immeasurable and unfailing love. May we come to the scripture with a joyful anticipation that you will teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. So much to learn, but God's blessed you with the Word of God. Read it, listen to it, follow it with a receptive heart, and be a blessing to those around you.